Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with How Stuff Works and iHeartRadio, and I love all things tech, and it is time once again for a classic episode of Tech Stuff, where we bring you episodes from the deep, dark archive of the more than 11 years worth of shows. And this particular episode originally aired on August 12th, 2012, and it is called Printing Medication. It's all about using printer technology to dispense medication, very similarly to how you would print a sheet of paper with an inkjet printer. I think it's a pretty fascinating subject. So let's listen in to what Jonathan from the past and his co-host Chris Paulette had to say on the subject, shall we? Let's talk a bit about what we're actually going to discuss today, though.
Yes.
So today we wanted to talk about inkjet printers, some other kinds of printers, but not printers in the way that you would traditionally use a printer. You know, think about, you would traditionally use a printer to print text or graphics on a piece of paper.
Yeah. We thought it would be kind of fun to talk about some technologies that could be used in other ways that people have sort of repurposed, if you will. And this is one we thought would be fun to talk about because an inkjet printer is something we think of as a very everyday thing. You've got a couple different kinds of printers. You've got an impact printer and a non-impact printer. And basically, the difference is the impact printers are like the old daisy wheels where the printer actually hits the paper. It actually touches the paper in some way. And in this case that I was just mentioning, it's a daisy-shaped what would you call it? Print head, I guess. Where the type, you know, the actual letter goes through the ribbon, you know, hits the ribbon and makes an impression on the paper.
Right.
And then there were a series of non-impact printers, which is, you know, far more common today. The laser printers, the inkjet printers, different types of technologies there, but you know, they don't actually touch the paper itself, except the parts that feed the paper, you know, through the printer.
Right, right. So we wanted to talk today about how these sort of printers have been used in very novel ways in the medical field.
Yeah.
And not just the inkjet printers, but that's what we're going to start off on, because last year, this being 2012, back in February 28th, 2011, HP announced the first application of its inkjet technology in a non-traditional printing role,
right,
which was all about printing chemicals with the specific purpose of helping pharmaceutical companies develop new drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you suddenly had these inkjet printers that were being tweaked so that instead of it being a printer, it's now a medicine dispenser in a way. But to really get into the nitty gritty of this, we should probably talk about how a basic inkjet printer works.
Now, it's the basics of it are pretty simple. I mean, you've got something that feeds the paper through the machine and something that sprays ink onto the page. Now,
right,
you know, of course, if it just feeds the paper through and sprays the ink, you can have a ink-covered piece of paper with nothing on it. So you kind of have to have some way of making the stuff that you want to print show up the way you want it printed. The letters on the page of a letter, or if you want to print a photo, you want,
right,
the colors to appear in the right order.
And you want everything to be nice and sharp and,
yeah,
and have a good definition. Otherwise, you just kind of have this messy look. So you have to be able to make these drops really, really, really small, these drops of ink.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would not be able to make those definitions between things like hard angles versus a soft curve, and all the fonts would look the same. You wouldn't be able to create something that looks crisp and clear. So the way inkjet printers do this is they use hundreds of tiny, tiny, tiny nozzles,
yes,
that spray out drops of ink that are incredibly small.
Yeah. Now, I can tell you, the first inkjet printer I ever owned was in the mid-80s, 1985 specifically. There are things that go into an inkjet printer's quality that have improved significantly over this time. The ability to spray that mix the different colors to make other colors. The basic four color printing process: cyan, magenta, yellow, and black.
Mm-hmm.
CMYK, the K being black. Those have gotten the ability to mix those has gotten so much more sophisticated. There are other things that factor into it too that I want to mention. Paper, too, has factored into this too. The brightness of the white paper, if you're using white, or the absorption of the ink. The technology for all of these things has improved significantly over the short time that we've done this. But the basic technology is still there. You've got a print head.
Right.
That is the part of the printer that's actually doing the printing.
Yes, that's where all the nozzles are located. They're located on that print head.
And, of course, the ink cartridges that go inside the printer.
Right, that's supplying the ink, obviously.
Yep, the ink itself has gotten more sophisticated over time. And in some cases, depending on the manufacturer and the technology behind it, the print head may actually be part of the cartridge itself.
Right.
You may have an inkjet printer at home, and if you do, you may have seen that it's got a little something that looks like a little circuit board on there. Well, and that may very well be the actual print head.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a way to get it to scan across the paper, and that's what you have in your stepper motor. Basically,
right,
it's a part of the printer that drives across the paper, and the instructions that come from the computer to the printer tell the motor where to stop on the page so that the print head can spray ink onto the paper.
So we're talking about something that's really, really precise, because it has to be able to make incredibly tiny adjustments in order for these nozzles to spray the ink exactly where it needs to go. Because, you're talking about a really tiny scale, like on microns or even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So these are really, really tiny adjustments. And in fact, there's also a stabilizer bar,
yes,
that helps keep that print head on the very even track it needs to be in order to do its work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic part of the printer part of an inkjet printer. I mean, there's another entire section that involves pulling the paper through and feeding it through properly, which for the purposes of our discussion really don't factor in, because the medical variation of this doesn't use paper. It's not pulling paper through in order to print out information. So I'm just going to drop it from there, because there's just no point as far as the rest of this goes. However, I will say we have an article on our site about how inkjet printers work. So if you're just curious about the technology and want to learn more about it, we've even got some animations and some illustrations there that really go into how these nozzles spray out these tiny drops of ink. There's two basic versions that we talk about in the article. The thermal bubble version, where you have use resistors that generate heat to expand a piece within the nozzle that pushes the ink out, and then as the resistor drops in temperature, the material contracts, which pulls more ink into the nozzle, and it does this very, very rapidly. And that's what forces the ink out of the nozzle in these tiny, tiny, tiny drops. Mm-hmm. Then there's, of course, the other version is the piezoelectric inkjet printer that we talk about in that article. Mm-hmm. And the piezoelectric, if you don't know what piezoelectric means, that essentially means that if you have – it's certain materials that if you run a current of electricity through them, it changes the shape of the material.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If you were to change the shape of the material, you would generate an electric current. So the quartz crystal in a watch is an example of a piezoelectric material.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in this case, you're talking about running a little current through, and the piezoelectric material changes shape, and that's what pushes the ink through the nozzle and pulls more ink from the reservoir, from the cartridge, into the nozzle area. But there's more discussion about that in the article. I just figured that we should probably move into, kind of transition into the way that HP leveraged this technology for the medical field.
Yep, yep. One thing that we didn't quite touch on, unless I was sleeping through that. Sorry.
Which is possible.
In the inkjet process, now you were talking about the piezoelectric crystals.
Mm-hmm.
In the inkjet process, you know, each of those nozzles has the ability to squirt droplets of ink. And one of the cool things about that is, as a droplet leaves, it creates a tiny amount of suction, which pulls more ink to the printhead.
Right.
So, you know, this technology is what enabled HP to do this, is, you know, the ability to have the droplets pull one another, and that helps feed ink through, or whatever it is that you're using in the printer, to be able to pull more of the material out. Of course, we talked about HP, some time ago on the podcast, and we talked about how one of the first things they were involved with was medical technology.
Mm-hmm.
A long time before the desktop computer came out, they were involved with this. So it's certainly very natural that HP would be interested in combining its medical technologies and its computer technologies. And
right.
I think they really came up with a novel idea.
Yeah, and in this case, you might be wondering, okay, so why would you want to print chemicals to create pharmaceutical drugs?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is all about how pharmaceutical drugs are developed in the lab.
Yeah.
It's a very methodical scientific process, and it has to be, otherwise disaster can strike. So when you're developing a drug, there are a lot of different things you have to consider. For one thing, you have to consider the efficacy of the drug itself.
Right. Right?
Does it do what you need it to do? Does
right.
it actually, what is the medicinal effect real?
Right.
So there's that. That's an important part, one probably the most important part. But then you also have to figure out the balance of the ingredients that make up that drug, because at certain levels, it might be toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do whole toxicology reports on whatever your drugs are. Like what dosage is the right amount for the average human being?
Right.
And the whole process can take, depending on how many chemicals are going into this drug to create the molecules that make up the foundation of this drug, you might have very different effects. Just by saying, well, if we put more of ingredient A in than ingredient B, here's the medicological effect, the pharmacological effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we put more B in than A, the pharmacological effect may be entirely different. And determining the right balance is a challenge.
Right. And it's a painstaking process that can take a lot of time. Of course, if you're going by the scientific method, and for those of us who have studied that in school, you know, it's pretty basic to us, but it wasn't, you know, many centuries ago. You know, you have to make one subtle adjustment to the process at every increment so that you know that one thing is the only thing that you have changed.
Right. It's a control.
Yeah, exactly. You have to mark it down and say, okay, well, I've tried A with B. A with B doesn't work. So now I will try A with C. You know, and you have to make those subtle changes, and it can take a lot of time to go through those things.
Right.
But HP's process of going through this process has speeded things up significantly, I would think, because one of the things they do in chemistry of all kinds, not just for pharmacy, is titration.
Yes.
And that's basically making these subtle dilutions to see, you know, okay, so we've checked to see if 100% solution of this chemical will work. Now let's try the 99% solution. Now let's try the 98% solution. And, oh, gee whiz, that's going to take forever.
Right. You want to keep – really what you're looking for is you're trying to find the lowest amount of the active ingredient that will still – bring about the effects you want in order to minimize any potential side effects you might have from a medication.
What, you don't think gastrointestinal distress is a positive side effect?
I rarely do. It can be a comedic one.
I'll be right back, as a matter of fact.
But at any rate, yeah, this is a very painstaking process, like Chris was saying. You have to be able to determine, all right, well, this is the specific level that we need to hit. This is how much of this drug versus this drug we need to hit in order to make this medication work. And in general, in the lab, this can take a very long time.
If you're doing this by hand,
it takes forever.
It takes a long time.
I had to do this in chemistry. I had to do titrations in chemistry. And, you know, you remember you're counting each drop and you're measuring very carefully. And when you're talking about measuring drops with titration, that's not terribly precise.
No.
You're talking about drops that are pretty large. I mean, especially compared to what these printers can do. So.
Yeah. Well, in high school chemistry, what they were trying to teach us is the basics.
Right.
They want to teach you, you know, how the scientific method works, how, chemistry works, if you will. And, you know, we weren't trying to come up with a new remedy for a disease.
Right. So the HP printers that can do this, they're digital dispensers, actually,
yes.
Mm-hmm. is what they're called. But it's using that inkjet technology. What you can do with these things is you can you get this little – it's almost like a cartridge in a way. But what you can do is you can put a certain – whatever chemicals you're working in, you put a tiny little drop into one little reservoir for this inkjet printer, essentially.
Yeah.
And then you can put a second one in another compartment, and then you can program it, the printer, to mix those in different proportions with one another so that you suddenly come up with all these different very precise mixtures of your various chemical compounds so that you can determine which one is the best for whatever drug you are developing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it very, very quickly. So within half a minute, it can give you a full scale of titrations across a fairly broad spectrum. And it's doing it at a very precise method. When it was first announced back in 2011, they were talking about a precision of around 20 picoliters. Now, pico is smaller than nano.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a nanoliter would be 1/1,000,000th of a liter. A picoliter is 1/1,000,000,000th of a liter. So when it was announced, it was at a precision of 20 picoliters.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is, according to HP's website on the subject, they've gotten it down to about 13 picoliters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even more precise now. And it can do a titration of between 13 picoliters up to 10 microliters. And a microliter is 1/1,000,000th of a liter.
Just think, if we were trying to advance burrito technology, how much more precise we could get if we were going with more Gallo than just a Pico de Gallo.
Oh, that was a long way for that joke. Really, I was just waiting and waiting and like, oh.
Anyway, so yeah, the
that hurt.
That one of the this doesn't really look. I would advise you, if you're really interested in this, to take a look at this. They do have videos of this process going on. It doesn't look like what we think of as a desktop inkjet printer. Yeah, these trays that it uses are actually disposable, too.
Yes, very important, because you don't want any residue.
No. And it's kind of cool, because it's a very small tray, and they drop the tray into the printer, and then they can add the chemicals that they're using for the study, whichever study they're working on, as they go. So it's really kind of cool, because they're not using the same print head that they would if they were, say, printing out their dissertations or their studies on paper.
But
it's kind of cool to watch, because it's, you know, you can see it spray onto the paper using these trays.
Right. And it can also print into little, like, grids of containers.
Yes.
So in other words, you're printing out the compound that you've created into little containers, so that then you can test each container and see what effects that particular mixture will have, and whether or not, you know, one is better than another, and which one you should really focus on. This really streamlines the development of pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking pharmaceuticals, of course, is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Oh, yes.
And in theory, by streamlining the process, you could bring the costs of developing drugs down that, again, in theory, could eventually pass on down the line, so that those individual drugs are not as expensive as earlier drugs that took longer to develop.
Right.
Now, of course, that's all based upon the cost of production. It's not necessarily based upon the actual corporate behavior of a pharmaceutical company, which I cannot really talk about, because it doesn't have anything to do with technology.
Well,
that has to do with economy.
As a corporate body that has responsibilities to shareholders, its point is to maximize profits while doing its business.
Right.
But theoretically, this should also help them too, because they could probably deliver medicines more effectively and cheaply, and still increase its bottom line in the process.
Right.
Also, would speed up development of new medications. But there are also other benefits. People have talked about the possibility that, you know, we've talked about subdermal, we haven't on this podcast, but, you know, people in general have been discussing, how, the medical patches work. The drug delivery patches that you put on your skin for different kinds of medications. There have been discussions that HP could use this technology to spray the medicine on a patch.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something customized for, say, if Jonathan needs a specific formulation of a medication that would be different from the dosage that I would get, they would spray it onto the patches for him and give him those. And they could use the same dispenser to spray the ones that they would give to me for a different formulation of that medication.
It'd be a different concentration of the various ingredients. Yeah,
right.
You're talking about personalized medicine at that point.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, our basic medications that we go out and we take, you know, whether they're tablets or capsules or whatever,
right,
they are based upon an average physiology for, the average patient, for example.
Right.
And that we don't necessarily fit that average. Our physiologies are different. Metabolisms are different.
The other medications we're taking might have interactions with this medication. One person might not need as much as the other, or it might interfere, so they cannot give that person as much.
Right. So, you know, and when you go to the doctor and you get a prescription, you might have to get a different concentration of that drug than someone else would have, or it might be something even more primitive, where it's just take half a tablet in the morning and a half tablet at night, as opposed to a full tablet. Whereas, you know, Chris might have to take a full tablet each time. That's, you know, these are not very precise. Whereas in this case, you're talking about tailoring medication to specific individuals, so that you're getting the the most benefit from that medication with the fewest side effects. That's the real goal here.
Yeah.
And it's not the only way that this could potentially come about. There's another kind of technology. Again, it's an inkjet technology, but it's a different methodology that is being explored by a company called GlaxoSmithKline.
Mm-hmm. Very large pharmaceutical company.
Yes. And what they're looking at is the possibility of printing medication directly onto tablets.
Mm-hmm.
So the tablets themselves are really they're the paper in the printer analogy, right? The tablets themselves have no medicinal quality to them. They are just what the medicine is printed on top of.
Yeah. So basically, if you took the tablets without any medicine sprayed onto them, they would effectively be a placebo.
Yes. It'd be almost, essentially the same thing as a sugar pill.
Placebo.
Placebos are great. Man, I remember when I had a headache and I took three placebos. I almost OD'd on placebos.
Hey, it's Jonathan from 2019 butting in here. Just wanted to let you know we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more printing medication.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
A placebo is something that has no active ingredients in it. It's often used in, if you're not unfamiliar with the term, it's often used in scientific tests,
right,
in order to determine whether or not a quote unquote real drug is effective. So
right.
you would take a selection of people who all are needing medication for some particular ailment.
Right.
And it could be anything. It could be a physical ailment, could be emotional, mental, whatever.
Right.
So you've got this group of people and you divide them up into different groups. Your placebo group is your control group. These are people who are taking something that has no active ingredients in it, and they
they should not know that. It should be a blind test. In fact, if it's a really good test, it's double blind, meaning that the people who are administering the test also do not know if the drug that they are administering is, in fact, the real drug or the placebo version, because that way they can't give any information to the test group and influence their response.
Right.
So you give the placebo to one control group, you give the drug to the test group, mm-hmm. and then you compare the results. Now, this is a really complicated issue no matter what kind of test you're doing when you're talking about human beings, because we're all different.
Those pesky humans.
Yeah, so even if the drug is completely effective, because we're humans, the results may not immediately tell you how effective that drug is. And it's a long process with lots and lots of testing before a drug can be said to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And if you measure it against the performance of the placebo group, let's say that the control group all says, oh, I felt so much better after taking that medication. It was amazing. And the test group says the same thing. Well, now you don't know. Because
right.
the placebo was just as effective as the drug, which may mean that the drug has no medicinal effect. It may mean that the medicinal effect is negligible, or it may just mean that peoples are silly.
Yes.
But anyway, that's the whole testing procedure. So with this other printing medication on tablets process, you would get to a point where you could, again, very precisely control exactly what kind and how much and how concentrated the medicine is when you print it on the tablet.
Right.
So in theory, you could, again, personalize medical treatment. Although if you're talking about a mass production model, you're really not talking about personalization. You're just talking about a different way of producing medicine. There's some problems that they're facing with this. One of those being that currently, at least as of the recording of this podcast and the most recent research material I could get hold of, this is only effective for 0.5% of all medications that come in tablet form.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that only a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of all the different tablet medicines would benefit from this approach.
Right.
They're hoping to improve processes and get that number up to 40%. So still fewer than half.
Right. Well, at one time, my grandfather was a pharmacist, he was a pharmacist in the early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, they mixed things at the pharmacy. Now, today, you can still find pharmacists who will do this. They typically refer to themselves as compounding pharmacists. So if you see a sign for a compounding pharmacy, basically what they're saying is, we mix special medications. I've actually had to have something mixed up special for me. And it's very weird to do this because, they get in there with the mortar and pestle and grind stuff up and mix stuff together.
Yep.
But if you go to the pharmacy in your grocery store or your, department store, generally what they do is they order stuff.
Yeah.
And that can be inconvenient. Now, they say, well, I can't get that for you today. It's probably going to be next Tuesday before I can get anything shipped in for us. Now, this kind of technology, if it's on a patch or you can print it onto a tablet, might mean that they could get, the chemicals in and they can say, well, I can mix up that concentration for you later this afternoon. And
right.
you might get your medication a lot more quickly. They might be able to get more of the raw materials in. Now, I don't know, if it's only effective for a certain amount of the population, then that may not be as effective, but it might help. Now, on the other hand, that also might mean that they have a lot of raw stuff laying around that could be mixed to make other stuff. And as we know, pharmacies are targets for people who like to break in to steal stuff to make things that may or may not be legal.
Right, like illicit drugs.
Yes.
Essentially is what we're talking about.
But see, there are benefits that this technology could bring and also detriments. Well, it's like any kind of technology, really. But the benefits are enticing.
Yeah. Not only are you talking about personalized medication and also a streamlined manufacturing process, you're also talking about the potential of this medication taking effect much more quickly than it would in a traditional format. So if you're talking about a tablet where the medication is essentially baked into the tablet, the digestive system takes a while to break that tablet down and the medication gets into your blood system, your circulatory system, and is absorbed in whatever the mechanical process is for that particular medication because mm-hmm. they are different.
Yeah.
If you're printing it on the outside of the tablet, then that's going to get absorbed much faster than it would if it were part of the tablet. Mm-hmm. So that's one potential benefit, is that the pharmacological effects would kick in earlier than they would with other types of tablets.
I was going to say, and that's sort of, if you are thinking of the inkjet printer in this case printing on a row of tablets as though they were the paper in a desktop inkjet printer.
Yeah.
But there's another way you could think about that. If you were thinking about something like 3D printing, then the medicine could be all mixed together and printed out in the form of a tablet.
Yeah, in fact, we'll talk about that in just a second. The one other thing I wanted to say about this tablet approach is that potentially you could even get to a point where you could print multiple drugs on a single tablet,
yeah.
which would mean that another benefit for the patient is that if they are on something like 3 or 4 medications, instead of having to take 3 or 4 tablets, they might only have to take one that has all of the different medications printed on it.
Yeah.
And now, again, because we're talking about 40% of all tablets right now, even at their the goal being 40%, that's, you know, the odds that every medication a person might need, someone who has a lot of different prescriptions, the odds that they would be able to get all of those into one pill are not great, but it's a potential future for this technology.
Sure. Yeah, they could print your antihistamine and your allergy medication and your multivitamin all together in one tablet that's prescribed to you by your doctor and just give you all of it in one go.
One go, yeah. Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about printing out skin.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I had forgotten about that. I completely blew the segue there. Yeah, this is something that it was funny because I was looking. Jonathan and I both heard about the potential for using these printers last year. And so I was looking for that. And in the process, I found an article from actually quite a few years ago, from 2004, in IDG News, from Susanna Patton. And what they were talking about was the possibility of using printers to print out skin, artificial skin, for grafting purposes.
Mm-hmm.
This would be really cool because not all skin grafts take. Now, they try to get it from the patient who has been generally, this is for burn victims.
Yeah, I actually knew a kid when I was growing up who suffered second and third degree burns along his legs and had to have an extensive skin graft. And it was, yeah, they had to take it from further up his leg in order to transplant it down on his leg. And it was a very long and painful process for him.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But the problem is not all of that works as successfully as they would like it to, mm-hmm. because, you know, they have to cover the area, or they're going to try to cover the area, and there may not be suitable skin on the patient available to do the graft. It can be, you know, they're taking it from one place and moving it to another, so they're, you know, they're creating more injury, if you will,
right.
in the process of
grafts don't always take.
And sometimes they shrink.
And also there's a huge risk of infection.
Yes. Yes, there are. They actually were doing this at the University of South Carolina, and they're using gel, a form of gel instead of paper. So they are actually repurposing. Now, this isn't using a new technology. This was actually repurposing older printers with larger holes for nozzles.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, in the experimental process. But what they were doing was using this gel and printing the material that could be used for grafts. And the benefit here, was that it could be, you know, more suitable for, printing to that specific area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less likely to, shrink, because they were using this artificial material. So it was really a better quality of material than the person's actual skin. Now, I didn't find a lot of information about whether or not this has been used currently, but this was done in 2004, and it's a very interesting thought. They were also talking about the possibility of printing complete organs, which is also this would also be a 3D process.
Right.
That's pretty amazing to think about. And it's the kind of thing that obviously hasn't been used a lot as of right now. But, you know, going forward, now that 3D printing is becoming very much a reality in the rapid prototyping. Well, we discussed this in a previous podcast, too. Mm. You know, this is very much a fairly common thing now. You can buy your own 3D printer. Now, they're not cheap.
Right. And they're not going to print out a human heart for you, but.
No.
But
the idea is that you could use gels. I also found, just as a quick mention, scientists who are working on printing on gels for electrical connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Not for medicine, but for, the purposes of electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So as the work into printing on gels continues and the work of printing for medicine continues, you can expect that, you know, these things are very much a possibility and, you know, may move very quickly in the years to come.
Chris and I have a little bit more to say about printing medication right after this break.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
It's a very exciting thing to me because I love the idea of being able to print organs where you no longer have to worry about getting the right donor.
Yeah.
Or if it's an organ that can be replaced with a mechanical version, then of course you have to worry about other elements like your body rejecting it or whatever. When you're talking about printing your own organs, you can think about a time in the future where we might be able to say this organ was printed specifically from this person's based on this person's DNA,
yes,
and their physiology, so that the likelihood of the body accepting the new organ is much higher than it would be if it were a traditional transplant.
Yeah.
And so the survivability goes up. You don't have to worry about organ donors as much. You reduce the need for people to sit on a waiting list for a transplant for indeterminate amounts of time. And, you know, that's an incredibly emotionally taxing situation to be in.
Yes, it is.
You know, where you don't know if you're going to ever get the organ you need. You know, it's a race against time, and mm-hmm. there are people ahead of you. That's a tough situation.
Yeah.
So the benefits of this technology are enormous. It's really hard. I mean, I could not exaggerate how important it would be.
Yeah.
But getting back into also 3D printing and closer to stuff that's happening right now, you alluded to it in my way too early
segue.
The attempted segue. Using 3D printing to create drugs like a capsule or a tablet. There's a professor, actually the chair of chemistry at Glasgow University named Lee Cronin.
Yes.
Who he had a TED talk about this.
Yeah,
He's known for some pretty innovative ideas in various spaces. He's also a fellow who has he's got a lot of goals, this guy. Yeah. One of them is to eventually create a life form. Like, that was another one of his projects. It's not just creating this 3D printing drug thing. He also did a TED talk about using a process to actually create a new form, a synthetic form of life.
Right.
So he's got a lot of synthetic fingers and synthetic pies out there. But he was talking about using 3D printers to create drugs. And one of the ways the way they're talking about doing this is building, first using a polymer called, that they're calling reactionware, which would create essentially the reaction chamber for a chemical process, mm-hmm. right? Because drugs are in general, they are the result of some sort of chemical reaction between various ingredients interacting together.
Right.
Well, you can control somewhat you can completely control the concentration and effect of those drugs by not just the amount of the active ingredients that you introduce or the various ingredients that you introduce. They don't necessarily have to be active. Not just controlling how much of each of those individual ingredients come in, but the size and shape of the reaction chamber,
mm-hmm.
because that can control the speed of the chemical process, which can again affect what the outcome of that process will ultimately be.
Mm-hmm.
A fast process might result in a different type of drug than a slow process, even if you're using the same ingredients.
Yeah.
So he came up with this idea, or he and his team came up with this idea of using this polymer to print out very, very precise reaction chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And then using the same printer, laying down layers of the various compounds that you would use for a drug. And the heavier compounds would be on top, the lighter compounds on bottom. And essentially, the heavier compounds would start to sink down into the lighter compounds, and a very controlled chemical reaction would take place. Ultimately, he hopes to be able to lace this reaction ware polymer with various catalysts. And a catalyst, of course, is something that facilitates a chemical reaction,
mm-hmm.
right? So, in other words, you would have an entire pharmacological lab reduced down to a tiny, tiny form factor because you're using a 3D printer.
That would be very cool.
It would be really cool. And then his ultimate goal mm-hmm. would be that patients would be able to purchase a printer and take it home and connect it to their computer. And then they would essentially buy a drug recipe from whatever pharmacy or, you know, whatever the vendor would be. But they would buy the drug recipe online,
mm-hmm.
which would then download to their computer. They would send, you know, they would have to have the basic ingredients, whatever those basic ingredients are for that drug. But they would then send a print job, essentially, to their printer, and it would then print that medication out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually compares his project to iTunes and the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, it's an app. It's not the content. It's just the way of generating whatever it is. You know, it's your way to access content that's provided by other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a smartphone app in the sense that this is just the program that lets you do the stuff. The actual content's going to come from whatever the vendor is.
Yeah.
So if you need to buy painkiller,
yeah,
you could purchase the painkiller recipe, send it to your printer, and print it out. Now, this is not that different from the other 3D printer conversation we've had in a previous podcast.
No,
we talked about, you know, people designing stuff. Like, let's say that someone designs a particularly nice table. The table just looks really cool.
Ooh, nice table.
And then, yeah, and then you can download, you know, purchase and download the schematic for that table, send it to a 3D printer, and have it print out the various pieces you need to assemble that table.
Yeah.
This is the same idea, except you're taking it to medicine as opposed to furniture or a toy or even a prototype, whatever else, you know, you would use a 3D printer to create.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same basic approach. He's just like, why can't we apply this approach to medicine?
Yeah.
If it works in this case, could it not work in this? So that's what he and his team are working on now. They're still, you know, in the very early days of testing as far as this is concerned, but it's a very promising and interesting approach. Now, people have already raised some concerns about the ultimate goal, about being able to buy a printer. You know, these printers cost a couple $1,000s, but when you compare that to the price of buying medication, over time, that is not a big deal.
Right.
I mean, assuming that the raw materials are not as expensive as the medication would be,
mm-hmm.
then you would be saving money in the long run.
Yeah.
Assuming you live long enough for that to benefit you, right?
Right.
So if we live in a world where you can go out and buy a 3D printer that can print medication.
In a world where you could buy a 3D printer.
Right. One of the concerns is, well, let's say that this is not a pervasive technology. Let's say that it only goes out to a small percentage of the people in the world who can get hold of this, either because it's got a barrier economically or perhaps it's a legal thing. You know, maybe it's legal in some areas but not in others.
Right.
At any rate, let's assume that only, we'll say 1%. 1% of the world's population has access to this technology for the purposes of this discussion. That 1% ends up going out and buying this printer, taking it home, and now they've got a drug printing machine.
Okay.
What stops that 1% from becoming drug dealers?
All right, you just blew my mind.
Yeah, see, that's the problem that people are saying. They're saying, well, if this is not a technology that everyone has access to, you have essentially made a whole bunch of people their own drug companies where they can they will go out, they'll buy the recipe for whatever drug it is that they want to print, print out a whole bunch of them, and then essentially sell that drug in a black market. A new black market would be generated because you would bypass the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacies and the doctors, and you would just have regular individuals, you know, kind of prescribing medication out to whoever wants it. So there are some concerns about that. Now, Cronin, for his part, pretty much dismisses that.
Yeah.
He says, you know, this is, you're worrying about something that's not even an issue yet, and when we get there, it won't be an issue. But that's still, you know, critics have still been a little concerned with what could potentially happen.
Right. Well, in 3D printing, there have already been people upset that you can print a thing because, you know, they made things that weren't, you know, a book or a piece of music or a film. And they said, oh, well, you know, we don't have to worry about people copying our stuff.
Well, yeah. It's,
and now I have read reports of people who make things, 3D things, and they're going, wait, they're making our things.
Right. So
well, now we have to deal with this copyright thing. Because you could just make our stuff at home.
Yeah, we saw the music world deal with this first. And then film and television.
Yeah.
And then books.
Yeah.
So books and publishing.
Yeah.
So we've seen major industries already have to deal with this. It just means that everything is going to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, that's the crazy thing is that, and what'll be funny is that I'm sure we're going to see the same sort of ham-fisted mistakes made by each industry. Like, it's just like, seriously, people, did you not learn anything from the previous incarnations of this problem?
Well, these are industries that haven't necessarily typically had to deal with this.
Well, none of them had to at first.
No, but they're people who thought they were out of trouble.
Yeah, they're people who thought they were immune to it.
That is another podcast. However, I did want to mention, too, really quickly, because we're kind of going long, but there are also 3D printers being used in other types of medicine too.
Yes.
I have seen 3D printing being used to create custom dental materials. Mm-hmm. You know, for people who need implants or you know, those kinds of things. And I know that they're using 3D printing to create other types of implants. You know, obviously the harder physical material, bone,
right? Things like replacing knee joints or hip joints,
right?
Jawbones.
Right. That's just amazing.
Yeah, the idea of just printing out a new whatever it is, which is great because, again, you can print it at such precision that you can meet the needs of the patient much more readily than you could if you're talking about, you know, a one-size-fits-all approach, because we're not all one size, as it turns out.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating to think that you might be able to do x-rays and CAT scans and things that imaging that you would not have been able to use just a generation ago to get such precise measurements, put that information into a computer and print out what you need rather than having to, you know, make a cast or, you know, whatever to create a new one or go, huh, you know what, you look like you might have a medium-sized hip. Let's throw that in there.
All right, and that wraps up another classic episode of Tech Stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, not future classic episodes, that would be weird, you can let me know. Send me an email. The address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop me a line on social media. You can find all the links to that on our website. That's techstuffpodcast.com. You'll also find an archive of all of our past episodes, not just the ones from 2012. and a link to our online store where every purchase you make goes to help the show, and we greatly appreciate it. And I'll talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.